This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in the last hour was Dilip Hero. If you're not familiar with him, he has a new book out that came out as of yesterday, entitled Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. That, again, is a publication of Nation Books. You can find Nation Books at nationbooks.org. And Dilip Hero, of course, is a regular correspondent with some of the major publications of the world. And I read his op-ed pieces from time to time in the establishment press. But even more importantly, I have availed myself of his knowledge in terms of some of the books that he's published in the past. I believe that Blood of the Earth is about his 25th publishable work of nonfiction. And then he has written, as I have a list in front of me, of about five fiction works as well, including some plays. But The Iranian Labyrinth, Journeys Through Theocratic Iran and Its Furies, that came out in 2005. I read that book at the time and still plan on posting a review on that at some point on my own website and also Breaking All the Rules News, because whatever your background in terms of Iran, if you've not traveled there, have not worked there, know very little about it, this book will really bring you up to speed. And I found, as one who had visited that part of the world years ago when my parents were stationed there, that this book, The Iranian Labyrinth by Dilip Hero, added tremendously to my knowledge. I would say that it was one of the two most helpful books on Iran that I have ever read in the English language. The other one is Sandra Mackey's book, The Iranians. Those two books would really help you immensely in understanding all of the ramifications of what's going on right now in that part of the world, as we seem to be heading toward a much wider difficulty in the Middle East. And I would argue that both oil and Israel and Zionism are involved in this tragedy. And right now, I certainly see nothing going on with the present administration or any future administration in regard to either a Republican or a Democratic presidential contender, much less the new composition on Capitol Hill, such as it is, that will change the direction of this. The lobbies are too entrenched. The special interests that are reflected in the composition of this Congress are too entrenched. And I suspect that we're going to see, unless there's a change in course I don't anticipate, and I, again, hasten to add that I hope I'm wrong about all of this, but the events of the last 50 years suggest that we are really headed toward a cataclysm in regard to what seems to be taking place in that part of the world. Dilip Hero has a couple of other books that I have that are well worth your time. One is The Essential Middle East, A Comprehensive Guide. That came out in 2003. And then going all the way back to 1991, his book, The Longest War, The Iran-Iraq Military Conflict. I don't think there's been a finer book written, in the English language at least, on the whole subject of what exactly happened between 1980 and 1988 in the Iran-Iraq War. We have a caller, Jeff in Vermont. You still with me, Jeff? I guess he's dropped off.
No, I'm right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, just to go off with a beep. Yeah, that was an excellent conversation you had with that guy. He's really smart, and I'm probably going to get his book on Amazon if it's on Amazon. It sounded like he definitely knew what was going on, and it's good to hear that, not from from somebody else's lips other than the corporate media. I totally agree with you.
Jeff, I apologize. I've got to go to a commercial break, but stay on the line. I definitely want to chat with you for a while when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have a caller from Vermont that we're going to be chatting with after the commercial break, and then Dr. Michael Chasadovsky will be on with me at 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Stay tuned.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Cost America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest in the first hour of the show was Dilip Hero, the author of the new book, Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. As I mentioned, Dilip has written a number of books over the years on the Middle East that are well worth your time. Among the ones that I have read and own personally, those include The Iranian Labyrinth, Journeys Through Theocratic Iran and Its Furies from a couple of years ago, the book The Essential Middle East, A Comprehensive Guide, that came out in 2003. And then going through this laundry list of books, the other one that I have personally in my library is his 1991 work, The Longest War, The Iran-Iraq Military Conflict. Again, his book on Iran, The Iranian Labyrinth, if you get a copy of that, it's still very fresh in terms of the information that's in it. It combines current information that's necessary for understanding what's happening now with an incredible historical compendium and analysis going back 2,500 years in terms of the history of that country. So this is quite a gentleman, and I'm privileged that we had him on the show even for an hour this morning. He's got a tour going on in the United States right now promoting this latest book that I understand from his publicist is going on from January 25th all the way through February the 6th. So we actually were fortunate to get him the day before his grand tour in this country actually begins. And that's a very special gift to us, as you will discover if you try to get through some of these books yourself. It'll be a wonderful expanding experience for you. And I say that without endorsing all of the things that he says in these books either. He's just a great academic. Back to my conversation with Jeff. You there, Jeff?
Yes, I am.
Well, go ahead, sir.
I just want to say that he has some good points on. I want to put this in a simplistic form. This Iraq American war. Anybody with a grain of common sense knows that we invaded this country because of oil, and it's not very. They're not growing carrots there, and the deal was the oil was supposed to pay for the war. That's what it said in the beginning. But if you do any research at all, you can't even really find out who's benefiting from the oil, what private corporation is actually privatizing and making the money from the oil revenue. And obviously the people of Iraq are not benefiting at all from our invasion, our occupation, us being there whatsoever. So I guess the question, the $64,000 question is, what's going to happen to those people? I mean, we're going to rape and pillage and take their natural resources, cause an internal conflict between the Kurds, the Shiites, and the Sunnis, and we're just going to sit there and secure the oil lines and make sure that we get the profit and our private corporations get the money. I mean, is that the most simplistic form that I can see that, put it on a very small scale?
Well, it's not only simplistic, Jeff. I think you're absolutely right. And, to put this into perspective in terms of the not only the horror of this and the ongoing character of it in regard to the, to years and years of conflict, but I have an old friend, a former political science professor, who sent something to me in the mail a few days ago. I know the RAND Corporation is an establishment think tank. I'm always suspicious of these things at the same time that I do read some of their stuff just to see what the establishment academics are saying from time to time. There's a guy named James T. Quinlivan, who's a military analyst and senior mathematician at RAND, and just to cut through a lot of pages in a very short period of time, he points out that the population of Iraq is 25 million, nearly 25 million. I've read 26 million. And Dr. Quinlivan goes on to say that population would require 500,000 foreign troops on the ground to meet a standard of 20 troops per 1,000 residents. So, just that figure alone coming from this RAND Corporation analyst and senior mathematician would suggest that we're not only barking up the wrong tree in this thing, in my view, morally, but we've also got a situation where clearly we're not doing the job with 135,000 troops or 150,000 troops or whatever. And the 21,500 troop surge that the president keeps talking about is an absolute drop in the bucket compared to what this guy at the RAND Corporation suggests is going to be necessary to have any hope at all of pacifying that country. And I would suggest that even at 500,000 troops, that we're never going to get the job done, because as Dilip Hero was talking about this morning, the whole issue is having all of these non-Islamic foreign troops on Islamic soil. It's not going to sell in that part of the world. It hasn't been selling in that part of the world. And I think between the transparent fossil fuel energy motivation behind this intervention and the fact that we're supporting something in the Zionist state of Israel that is causing a wave of hatred toward us from Somalia to Indonesia, I see nothing but tragedy and armed conflict ahead in any of this, not to mention the billions of dollars, much of it borrowed from Asian banks, that are going to continue to be borrowed and spent to continue this insane policy. What's your thinking?
Have you read the paper Thinking About Neoconservatives by Kevin MacDonald?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
This is an academic who takes the neoconservatism, and he's not biased. He's not. He's just taking it, looking at it, analyzing it, and directly linking it to the Middle East and to Zionism. I mean, and this guy's credentials are astounding, and he's not a fool, and this guy doesn't have a political agenda. These are facts. You know, he's not making this out of thin air here. You know, Michael Levine, Ari Fleischer, Richard Pearl, the list goes on. And he's, you know, Paul Wolfowitz, he's taken these people, and which he says, you know, is, for one thing, Israel and America does not have to register as a foreign agent or a foreign political person in Congress, which is unconstitutional. Second of all, another point here is that if you are a citizen of Israel, you can be a citizen of any other country in the world, which is called a dual citizenship. And the United States government recognizes that, and it's legal. But you can't be a citizen of Germany and of the United States. You can't be a citizen of – I'm Irish. You can't be a citizen of Ireland and of the United States. But you can be a citizen of Israel and United States.
It's pretty suggestive, isn't it? You know, I've got an American passport, a current one. Haven't used it. I haven't been abroad in a long, long time, but I re-upped on mine a couple of years ago, and I think you've still got that thing inside the cover of the passport, which says something about losing your American citizenship if you swear allegiance to a foreign power. And then this begs the question as to why it is, in the case of the example you cite, the obvious example, this doesn't seem to apply when it comes to the nation of Israel.
You know what? The only sense would make these guys have a lot of authority and a lot of power in Congress, and it's that simple. It's not rocket science here. It's just these guys have a lot of influence. They have an agenda to push, and they have a policy to push, and they're pushing it, and they're winning. And it's that simple, you know? I mean, and you almost have to – I don't want to take my hat off to these people, but they're motivated. And these people are in the trenches, and they're fighting, and they're winning. And sorry to say, we're losing, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right, at least up to this point. Now, you know, when you look at it, I don't think there's any question that when I look at the Israeli lobby, I perceive them as a microcosmic test case example to be used in every school of political science in this country in regard to how an effective lobby operates. You know, I don't like these guys at all. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like their influence in both the domestic and foreign fields in this country. But the fact of the matter is they're extremely effective. Their tentacles are everywhere. And without question, when you look at the influence they have in American academia, the influence they have with the publishing companies, the influence they have in the news media, and the Israeli lobby's paper trail in the American Congress, it's absolutely palpable, and they're effective. There's just no way of getting around it. I would go so far as to say that they're the most effective political lobby anywhere as far as the American domestic political scene is concerned. The other thing that I'd like to see somebody do, I'd like to see a good political scientist take this project on and then hand me the results and hand the results to the other talk show hosts, especially on this network, the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'd like to see an analysis done of all of the political action committees in the country that are listed that give money to political candidates. The reason I say this is the Washington Report for Middle Eastern Affairs, which is a pro-Arab, pro-Palestinian publication, a very excellent one, by the way, very academically oriented. You can find it at wormia.com. They list or try to list a partial discussion of some of the Israeli-oriented political action committee groups that are giving money in these American elections. But they emphasize at the same time that we need to do a more complete study because a lot of these PACs are very carefully disguised in terms of the titles of the organizations. Like, for example, if you look at something like the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, it's pretty obvious what that is. There are a number of other ones where the title of the organization tends to disguise its purpose. We'll talk about that a little bit when I come back. Stay on the line, Jeff, if you've got time. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dr. Michael Chasadovsky of Global Research will be with us at 9 a.m. Central Time. Stay tuned.
people who use carbidites know about the pollutants in our body and want them. And for over 5 years, carbidite has proven itself. Dr. Mathis, a naturopathic doctor, thought on carbidite.
Is that what it is?
There isn't something very favorable to disease anymore. It's just basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers those.
So that's that country that's living off the land?
When we do our program, you know, herbal formula like carbidite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available. Until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time, we were joined by Dilip Hero, the author of Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. I had mentioned, of course, a couple of his other books that I've already read, including The Iranian Labyrinth and The Essential Middle East, A Comprehensive Guide, and The Longest War, The Iran-Iraq Military Conflict. All of those, as I understand it, are available through Nation Books, which you can get to by looking at nationbooks.org, or I'm sure those of you who shop at Amazon can find Dilip Hero listed there, H-I-R-O, with all of these same volumes. And at 9 o'clock, or I'm sorry, yeah, that's right, at 9 o'clock Central Time, Dr. Michael Chosadovsky is going to join me. He is the director for the Center for Research on Globalization, and you can find him at the University of Ottawa up in Canada, where he's an economics professor. His website is globalresearch.ca, if you want to get tuned into that before he comes on at 9 a.m. this morning. And we're going to chat about all kinds of things, especially Mr. Bush's so-called speech last night, and what's going on with Zionism and oil and Middle Eastern policy, and what Dr. Chasadovsky and some of the other folks who posted that site are thinking in regard to what's going to happen in these next few months. But back to my conversation with Jeff. Sorry we got interrupted again, Jeff. I was saying before the break that I thought it would be a great thing, just in terms of the Israeli lobby alone. Now, you can apply this to a lot of other lobbying groups as well, but where the Israeli lobby is concerned, because of their power and influence, when I was reading the Washington Report for Middle Eastern Affairs news blurb the other day, where they were listing some of the groups that are known to have Israel as the focal point of the Political Action Committee money that they spend up on Capitol Hill and elsewhere, the Wormia report was careful to say that you have to read through these lists with a very discerning eye, because some of these groups are quite obvious in what they're doing when you look at the title of something like the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, and yet some of the other groups that are lesser known and that have more disguised euphemisms for their titles are less obviously traceable to the Israeli lobby, where there may be, in fact, a very direct link, if only we could get the inside information from a good researcher to explain to the rest of us who and what comprises some of these other rather shadowy groups. What do you think?
Well, you have obviously the ADL, you have the AEI, you have JINSA, you have JDO.
Yes.
You have a lot of these political action committees are in guise, and they do what these groups do. They advise policy that they want, and basically they give money, and you can call it a bribe, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but the influence is greed and money, and what they do, they get into the congressman's office, and they have committees, and these people talk, and they start agreeing with what they're saying. Then they don't get another view or another viewpoint about the situation, so they really only get to hear AEI, ADL, all these other groups, so they get the same message but from a different angle, but the same result.
So, yeah, and I think if you add to that the obvious disproportionate influence of Israel in the American news media, you know, when you're looking, for example, at the Washington Post and the New York Times on the one hand, allegedly publications of the establishment left of center political nexus in this country. You then look over at the Weekly Standard on the neoconservative right, National Review, to some extent Human Events, and clearly something like Fox News. When you start tracing out the perspectives in those publications and electronic outlets, it becomes increasingly clear that for the most part they're a Johnny One-Note on this issue. So whether you're looking at the New York Times on the one hand, or Bill Buckley's National Review, or Murdoch's Fox News on the other, or certainly Bill Kristol's Weekly Standard, the message is always the same. You have to search, as I have had to search in recent years of my life, to find, as far as the American scene is concerned, a publication that's available for purchase on the newsstand that gives people anything other than the party line on this. Obviously, American Free Press is one, but I don't know how many outlets. I know that there's one, I believe it's a Borders, that I've seen at the Quarry in San Antonio, the Quarry Mall,
yeah,
that occasionally carries AFP. The only other publication that carries something other than the standard line on Israel that I'm aware of that can be purchased there or at some of the other outlets in town is this Washington Report on Middle Eastern Affairs. And those, of course, are dwarfed by the dozens and dozens of publications and newspapers, all of which pretty much are saying the same thing for obvious reasons. There's a money trail involved.
And you're absolutely right. You have to engage this with an absolute integrity, with an open mind, and look at the facts. And that's what people have to do here. And you go to the Jewish, the Forward, and then you get the news from those people to see how they're thinking. And
just stay on the line. I've got another commercial break, but stay on the line. We'll pick this up when we come back. It's Mark Dankos, America, coming live from San Antonio and RBN. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
This is Mark Danfoss, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest this morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time was Dilip Hiral, author of Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. He has also authored quite a number of other books, including The Iranian Labyrinth, The Essential Middle East, A Comprehensive Guide, and The Longest War, The Iran-Iraq Military Conflict. You can find Blood of the Earth through Nation Books at nationbooks.org, or presumably also at amazon.com and a number of other outlets of that type. At 9 o'clock this morning, Central Time, we're going to be joined by Dr. Michael Chasadosky, director of the Center for Research on Globalization. He's an economics professor at the University of Ottawa up in Canada, and you can find his website at globalresearch.ca. You'll see some familiar names as well as some not so familiar names that post at that website. And there's a lot of good information there on what's going on worldwide and what it's going to mean for you and for me in the days ahead. Jeff, we interrupted you. Go ahead, sir.
I would just say in this movement with looking at Israel, looking at neoconservatism, looking at, you know, the leftist, Marxist, Bolshevik people and the other spectrum, you have to look at this with a totally open mind, with absolute integrity, and look at the facts and then weigh in the facts, then draw your conclusions. Not in a biased point of view, but in a view that is the truth and which is real. Because these people are very smart and they're intelligent and they have an agenda, and that's all it is. They have a political movement. That's all Zionism is. Has nothing to do with Judaism. Has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with a political agenda. And people have to realize that and separate it, because it's just like Democrats and Republicans. Zionism is no different. And it's a political agenda for the state of Israel. And that's it. Then you have the Labor Party, you have the Likud Party that are in Israel right now, and they're just pro-Zionist, you know, and just like Democrats and Republicans are pro-American, you know, just in that concept. But the thing with Israelis and Judaism is there's a lot of factions in that break up these people. And what I really don't like about, like, Norman Finkelstein, who I've read, you know, The Holocaust Industry, which is a great book, and he defines and he goes into detail about these, about why sometimes these people act the way they do. And they have an agenda to push, and they really do not like self-hating Jewish people, and they're really hard on these people. And Norman Finkelstein and The Holocaust Industry is a prime example of how much hatred that these people have against, you know, Norman Finkelstein. And not that I'm trying to promote Norman Finkelstein or anything, but what he says about the Holocaust and being a son of his parents were in the Holocaust, and where he has, you know, personal knowledge and everything that comes with that, he says they're just using that as an agenda. And he brings in like what we did to the Indians, which was far worse than the Holocaust and the atrocities that humankind has done throughout the whole years. But it seems like he says that they exploit it to a point that they're getting political motivation on it, and they're getting...
Okay. We lost the caller, but I was just going to say in response to what Jeff had said up to this point that, you know, you've got a situation where when you look at the whole issue of the Holocaust, I think that sometimes the debates over the numbers of people that perished in that thing are less important than the whole way in which the controversy is used today for political purposes. Why is it, for example, that with the exception of the very recent publicity on this because of the assassination of this journalist in Turkey, we have seen very little discussion generally in corporate news media about the Turkish infliction of dreadful numbers of casualties on the Armenians at the beginning part of the 20th century. Why is it that we hear so little in corporate media about the deaths inflicted by Joseph Stalin on Ukrainians in his policy of forced collectivization of agriculture in the 1930s? Seems to me that the reasons for this are very clear, that when you look at all of these different tragedies, it becomes apparent that only one of those tragedies gets the amount of play that it gets in contemporary American corporate media, and that's because that tragedy is elevated to a significance that dwarfs the significance in the public mind of all of these other situations about which many of the people in the average public are not even aware. And when you look at the nature of this, it seems to me that what it is designed to do is to silence criticism, legitimate criticism, of the Israeli lobby and criticism of the policies of the current Israeli government. I was talking about this with a close friend on the telephone last night. We were talking about the fact that in our schools that we went to, both private and public in the course of our lives, that we were never exposed to any of the information about the circumstances surrounding the creation of the Zionist State of Israel. The real information, such things as the bombing of the King David Hotel, the assassination of a Swedish Count Bernadotte, the wiping out wholesale of the Arabs in this village called Deir Yassin. I was totally unaware of any of this information before coming across it some years ago in the Lutheran Christian News, whose editor, Herman Otten, is one of the few people in so-called religious journalism that airs these subjects and is not captive to the Zionist agenda. From Otten's publication, I began to do further research, and that has led me to some of the same media outlets, the non-establishment media outlets, both in this country and abroad, that many of you listen to and read, that has given a completely different perspective on the events of the last 100 and some odd years as it relates to the whole question of Zionism. Let's take, for example, the role that the Israelis play in contemporary American politics. You know, it's been observed on many, many occasions that they are the most powerful lobby in the domestic political scene in the United States. And yet to suggest this, it seems to me, is to leave one wide open to the accusation that one is guilty of so-called anti-Semitism. Well, of course, we have to define what we mean by the term anti-Semitism. And I think it's safe to say that in most instances, the criticism that we see of the Zionist state of Israel is coming from all kinds of quarters now. Does this mean, for example, that Mearsheimer and Walt, these establishment professors connected with Harvard and the University of Chicago, who issued a position paper in the last year or so, very critical of the Israeli lobby, does this mean that they are anti-Semites? I think that that's a fairly ludicrous proposition. I think when we look at Jimmy Carter, for example, whatever we think of him as a president, whatever we think of him politically, and I have a lot of very serious disagreements with Jimmy Carter on a lot of things. The fact of the matter is, I do not believe him to be truly an anti-Semite. Neither do I believe him to be a racist. When the Anti-Defamation League and some of the other folks around the country, including some of the past employees of the Carter Center, intimate that the president is an anti-Semite and a racist because of the things that he has recently said in his new book on the subject of the Palestine question, that, again, is something that I vociferously disagree with. Not simply because if there is a racial issue here, it seems to me that the racial issue needs to be examined on the part of those who argue that the Palestine region must be ethnically cleansed of people who are not Jewish, and that they must lose their property at the point of a sword, that they can be put into camps and left there to languish for the rest of their lives, and that they should have no political rights whatsoever. Seems to me that that has a deliberately racist motivation involved in it. Also, when you look at the whole question of Israel, of course, and examine some of the things that have happened in recent years that suggest that Israeli intelligence assets have been operating against American interests, look at the Pollard spy case, the recent spy case involving several high-ranking employees of the IPAC agency, working in tandem with Larry Franklin, this Iran expert at the National Security Agency. We're not hearing too much about that now, are we? But the long and the short of it is that with the Pollard spy case and with the Promis spy case involving the theft of American nuclear secrets from the Los Alamos laboratory in a plot that was very definitely conceived both in Tel Aviv as well as in China, and then look at the recent IPAC spy allegations that have hit the establishment press, there's no question that as those things begin to get discussed, that the familiar figures involved in the Anti-Defamation League and the American Jewish Congress and Hadassah and so forth and so on come to the fore, intimate that those who want to talk about these things are racists, they're anti-Semites, they're Nazi sympathizers, and so forth and so on. The fact of the matter is, as we continue to examine the motivations of these neoconservatives for having gotten the United States involved in this present quandary in Iraq, as we look toward the possibility of a wider war with Iran, and as we talk about the provable role of the Israeli lobby in this process working through Wolfowitz and Pearl and Wormser and some of the other neoconservatives that have been cited by Jeff in his call this morning, there can be no question that this is a very traceable situation. And as more people in the American public, it seems to me, avail themselves of Internet news, responsible Internet news, I might add, news that is not under the control of corporate America, that is not under the control of the Israeli lobby, and examine these sites both inside the United States as well as outside it, that information dissemination, I think, may slowly but surely produce a backlash against all of this as we move toward the specter of a wider war, and as we start talking about the whole issue of the possible reimposition of a military draft. Jeff, did you get back online? Okay. That's just my thought on the whole thing. DeLapiro, I think, alluded to something like this when in reference to the Israeli-Palestinian political question, we were talking about the role of that question, of course, in, as far as political backlash and blowback in the Islamic world from Somalia to Indonesia. That much is self-evident, I think, and will only continue to worsen as the days ahead continue. But we can also look forward to, in my view, some sort of a backlash against this in the United States as well. That, I think, is the appropriate context in which to see some of the so-called hate crimes legislation. You know, you've got a circumstance where when you look at hate crimes legislation, quite clearly the folks that are most directly involved in that are people who, in my view, want to ensure that there are certain issues that are never discussed or should not be discussed in the public forum, and that if you can get those kinds of things taken out of the public forum, quite clearly you've got a situation subsequently where you can ensure that you maintain a monopoly on the dissemination of information. That's what this is all about, in large respect to me, is a question of monopoly on the dissemination of information. The media, the corporate news media, has obviously achieved this for the most part in the last 45 to 50 years. But with the advent of the Internet, I'm constantly amazed looking at my own life with this form of technology, as one who is not technologically oriented in any significant sense, but nonetheless I use the technology. When I see the kinds of things that I have become aware of in the last 10 to 12 to 14 years through this whole business of the Internet, it brings to us Republic Broadcasting Network. It brings to us the American Free Press website. It brings to us all kinds of responsible conservative and libertarian sites worldwide that are bringing things to us that the establishment does not want you to know. And therefore, since the establishment does not want you to know these things, it's entirely predictable that as the dissemination of that information produces more of a political backlash and more political awareness of what's happening, that there will be an attempt to create a tighter lid on the dissemination of that information, which is why I'm suggesting that monitoring this hate crimes legislation is one aspect of where we need to be keeping our ears to the track. The other thing is quite clearly in regard to proposals to regulate the utilization of the Internet. Clearly this is part of a tandem that would result, if it ever became reality, in a cutting off of the kinds of information pipelines that are allowing more people out there from coast to coast to come to conclusions that are other than the ones that Mr. Bush wants them to come to, other than the ones that the heads of the Republican and Democratic parties want them to come to, and clearly conclusions that are different from the ones that the Israeli lobby has been pushing very successfully, lo, this last half century plus. Suffice it to say that as we move into a whole new phase of problems in this part of the world, known as the Middle East, that more and more Americans will begin to perceive that there's something going on here that has nothing to do with the interests of the average person living in this country. Notice, by the way, the following byline put out by the London Daily Telegraph. It's something that, interestingly enough, has been picked up by the Israeli Debka file service. It's entitled, "Iran is preparing for an underground nuclear test with North Korean help before the year's end." This came out, according to my technician at RBN, minutes minutes after the president concluded his State of the Union address last evening and has been since disseminated around the world. And here we have it. The British paper, the London Telegraph, according to the Israeli Debka file, is quoting a senior European source reporting that North Korea is helping Iran prepare an underground nuclear test similar to the one Pyongyang carried out last October the 9th. In a State of the Union speech Wednesday, January 23rd, U.S. President George Bush said, quote, "The United Nations has imposed sanctions on Iran and made it clear that the world will not allow Tehran to acquire nuclear weapons," unquote. Bush did not explain what his intentions were. Iran has faced no threats of military action to thwart its acquisition of nuclear weapons except in veiled suggestions by the U.S. and Israel. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll have Dr. Michael Chosadowski on at about 9 o'clock in the morning Central Time. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest for the first part of the show from 8 to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time was Dilip Hero, the author of The Iranian Labyrinth. In his new book, of course, Blood of the Earth, The Battle for the World's Vanishing Oil Resources. You can check that out at Nation Books, which is at nationbooks.org. I'm sure you can also find the same information at Amazon.com and elsewhere. Our guest at around a little after 9 o'clock this morning Central Time will be Dr. Michael Chosadovsky, the director of the Center for Research on Globalization. And his website can be found at globalresearch.ca. Getting back to what we were talking about before the last commercial break, this whole issue of Iran and the whole trinity of links that it seems that certain people are trying to establish in order that potentially there would be the overt public rationalization for the war. One is to link Iran, of course, to activities going on in Iraq with the Shiites. Quite clearly, there are attempts to link Iran to Hezbollah in Lebanon with all that is packaged in that. And now here appears to be the third leg of the trinity, so to speak. Debka File taking the ball and running with the Israeli view of the London Daily Telegraph article, which says that Iran is preparing for an underground nuclear test with North Korean help before the year's end. Debka, of course, is putting out the line that Tehran has already managed to have mock tests by computer simulations. This is accompanied by Debka's not surprising position that a real test is only months away. It means that a breakthrough on the Iranian nuclear program has been accelerated to a much earlier date, supposedly, than anticipated by the U.S. and Israel up to this point. The Israeli-affiliated Debka group goes on to say that ahead of the Bush speech last night, Iran took two steps. The Revolutionary Guards launched a three-day exercise to test its short-range surface missiles, and it barred 38 inspectors of the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna from looking over its nuclear sites. Tehran is not severing its ties with the nuclear watchdog, a spokesman explained later. European nuclear and military experts estimate that no more than 12 months would separate an underground test from the manufacture of an operational half-kiloton bomb. This is according to both Debka and their spin on the London Daily Telegraph article. This means, again, according to the Israeli-affiliated Debka group, that an Iran may well have acquired the ability to produce a nuclear bomb by the end of 2008. Nothing said here, of course, about the Israeli nuclear program, which is already in existence, the largest and most overwhelming of its type in the Middle East. Nothing here about the biological and chemical weapons capabilities of Israel, which currently make it the leading nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons power in the Middle East. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be joined in a short time this morning by Dr. Michael Chosadovsky, Director of the Center on Research for Globalization. You can find his website at globalresearch.ca. Stay tuned.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN Live.